Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places Network. Tonight we present Ask Minister Ava, our oldest program on the network, celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad, with my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our legal contributor and host of A Time for Justice each Tuesday at 7 p.m. on this same network, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and of course our executive producer is here, our beloved Sister Rona Muhammad. And of course, what makes Elevated Places the place to be is you, those who listen on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, and those who call in on 563-999-3065. As always, we deliver very enlightening, inspiring, edifying subjects, and we bring on brilliant guests who are not limited to our faith community, but the broader Black community. And among our guests are always some of the most sparkling stars in the sky of the Nation of Islam. And by the nation, we mean the 40 to 60 million descendants of slaves here in North America, and then beyond these borders to all of the original people around the globe. So it is a wonderful blessing to be with all of you again. Please remember... To get your Final Call newspaper, both the hard copy and the digital edition. The heading this week on the front page, Nowhere to Hide in Troubled Times. And above the banner is Minister Farrakhan's article, America Kindles God's Anger, Wrath. Sadly, it's frightening, it's terrifying, it's sad, it's tragic. But the mass shootings, as we have all known this would happen, are occurring now on a weekly basis. And we only know of what is brought to our attention through the national media. And there's been yet another mass shooting, and four people are dead in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we're going to have to address that tonight as well. But at this time, to take us further into tonight's program, is our dear brother, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh man, Dr. Ava. You know, it's always interesting. It's always an honor and pleasure to come to Elevated Places because, you know, I listen to some of the callers and they always are like, they always get rejuvenated and they get lifted. And I just as I came on, I had to remember and really ponder on what people are saying because the reality is we're not getting it. Like, when did we become conscious? You know, what sparked us and where did we get it? And a lot of times we didn't get it from school, we didn't get it from TVs, and we didn't get it from the radio until hip-hop. Hip-hop introduced us to a lot of consciousness in the lyrics and the songs, but we just didn't get it, you know, just naturally. It was somewhere in this corner that we heard about it. Now consciousness is more prevalent, but I say that because where do people really get a regular discourse of our consciousness and black consciousness? And this is one of those places where people can come and to get a real good commentary on what is going on in the world affairs, what's going on across the nation, and looking at it from a special lens. I do a lot of work dealing with systemic racism, institutional racism, not I don't like you, you don't like me. But we look at it and we do it from an organizing perspective with an anti-racism lens. And we look at it from that standpoint to really break down. So when you are looking at systems, you may see somebody say, well, we got wonderful teachers and they are wonderful. They really love the students. Yeah, they may really love the students, but they're still practicing institutional racism because they're still teaching the systemic or regular lies about history. And they don't show people of color in the historical context. And they don't really tell the truth, and that's why they're having this whole discussion about critical race theory. And I'm only bringing that all into play as I'm talking because we always introduce and we always remind people to continue to hear and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we go back to 2020, Savior's Day, the unraveling of a great nation. And if you don't believe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, hear him and then follow the revealed news in the world, and you will see all that he is saying is coming to pass, just like his teacher, the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad. Everything that he has taught us is coming to pass, even to the point, Dr. Ava, that some people are almost saying we should do How to Eat to Live and doing lectures, How to Eat to Live. Like, where did you get that from? That didn't just come out the sky. But they're talking about one meal a day. They're talking about fasting. But it all comes from the teaching of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad. So go back to 2020, Savior's Day, unraveling of a great nation. Go to the criterion because we ain't finished with the criterion. It's stuff that's coming out. It may not be the quote-unquote the virus, but there's new things that they're coming out with. And that COVID could have been a precedent set for the other stuff that they want to put on us and more vaccinations that they want to bring out and test on us. And that's why the minister said don't take their vaccination. You think that was the last vaccination they're coming out with? No. So go back to July 4th, 2020, the criterion. Of course, the swan song this year for Savior's Day, February 27th, where the minister addressed. And if you don't think he's talking to you, he's going to get to your number. Just go back to the swan song. He'll get to your number because he got to a couple of my numbers. But I just wanted to make sure we remember that and tune in to NOI.org on Sundays at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com, to get all of this juiciness that you're hearing on her show tonight. So as I wrap up, Dr. Ava, a couple of points that we wanted to bring up, as you already mentioned, on the 101st commemoration of the Tulsa Massacre, on the commemoration, June 1st, the first day of June, we have another mass shooting in Tulsa. Now, you can say it was about a man having issues about his back hurting, and this doctor's responsible for his back pain, so he got mad and shot up. I don't know about that. I just know that it was on June 1st, the time of the Tulsa Massacre, that we did a mass shooting after we just had a mass shooting somewhere else in Texas and a mass shooting in Buffalo. Yeah, coincidences, I don't think so. But then also, Dr. Ava, we wanted to remember our brother Howard Morgan, the brother that was shot 28 shots, who recently passed, and our brother student minister Ishmael delivered his services. We lift him up. And then, Dr. Ava, you know, it's interesting that I'm only bringing this up because we don't usually talk about sports unless we, you know, talk about in the playoffs and stuff like that. We may be joking about the Super Bowl. But what's very interesting, Dr. Ava, you remember a lecture by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he did the NABJ. He said, you're a rich group of poor people, meaning that y'all got money, but y'all don't seem like y'all had no money to pay for me to be here. But you got money. And I bring that up because now LeBron James has been identified as the first active athlete that's a billionaire. And the current one that's an active athlete, he's a billionaire. So it makes me think Jay-Z is a billionaire, Beyonce, Kanye is a billionaire, LeBron's a billionaire, and we still in the condition as black people that we in. And I just want people to understand that we're now coming into the billionaire status, but what does that translate into black suffering? What does that translate into black the black condition of black people? What does that translate into? So when we know that they can take $500 million apiece or $100 million or $50 million and do something to build communities and buy land, and that's not done, having money doesn't necessarily make you anything of significance unless you have the knowledge within the understanding of how to use it for the benefit of the masses of your people, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching. And shout out to the minister. He is so beautiful. He is so loving. There was a sighting last Thursday night, Sister Ava, while we were doing the show, there was a sighting of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Benton Harbor, Michigan. He was at a Stephanie Mills concert. There was a sighting of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It just touched my heart. I was so happy because anytime the minister gets joy, anytime the minister's happy, anytime the minister's smiling, we should be so happy because that is a beautiful thing to see God's servant happy and smiling. So I'm glad that he was able to enjoy himself. And to wrap it all up and close out, I just got to say the National Training Convention and Conference in Milwaukee is July 28th through July 31st. Is it July 31st? I got to count my days. Yes, July 31st. And you can go to thevskjujitsu.com, thevskjujitsu.com. And I'm not going to tell you the reason why I'm saying it, but I will say this, Dr. Ava. We have to not only train to be prepared as we see active shooters, we have to be trained to how to go into our communities and make our communities safe and decent place to live, but we got to be trained on how to do it. And one thing my student regional captain, Brother Aaron Muhammad, said to me today as I was on a call with him, he said, but we also have to be right. It's one thing to be trained in martial arts and security, but it's another thing to be right. Because when you go do things in righteousness and right, then God will back you to be successful. And so the history of the Dope Busters and Mayfair Mansions, so we know that history, so we want to make sure that we're right, following the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and join us every Thursday night to get elevated here on the Elevated Places Network with Ask Dr. Ava, who I'm turning it back over to you. So thank you, Dr. Ava, for these few moments to have this wonderful conversation.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you. And the next pandemic is really, or the effort to produce the next one is already in progress. And I invite everyone to go to page 8 of the current Final Call newspaper, Dr. Rizli Muhammad's article, Monkeypox, Satan's death plot enters a new phase. And just the opening words, as the 24-hour news cycle of the COVID pandemic winds down around the world, many people are beginning to examine and analyze what happened to them in the last 2 years. Suddenly, as if timed to derail this awakening, we are being warned of the possibility of not one but two new pandemics, bird flu and monkeypox. In a May 18, 2022 article by Dr. Joseph Mercola entitled, "Will a weaponized bird flu become the next pandemic?" he wrote, quote, "Natural bird flu is notoriously harmless to humans, but Bill Gates and Dr. Anthony Fauci have for many years funded research to develop a bird flu pathogen capable of infecting humans. Some of that research has been undertaken in the Pentagon-funded biolabs, hold on to your seat, in Ukraine." Bill Gates funded research by Dr. Yoshihiro Kawaoka, in which the bird flu virus was mixed with the swine flu, H1N1, created an airborne hybrid capable of completely evading the human immune system, rendering humans defenseless against it. The United States and other countries have already started stockpiling H5N1 vaccine, and the H5N1 vaccine is being marketed for 2022. As if on cue, the first ever H5N1 positive case was identified in the United States at the end of April 2022. But wait. On May 23rd, 2022, CDC officials sounded the alarm for gay bisexual men as monkeypox spreads. Dr. Robert Malone raised the question, is this outbreak of monkeypox a real threat, or is this another case of overstated weaponized public health messaging? And then he answered his own question. Monkeypox was first identified in 1958, and the first human case of the virus was in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, 1970. In my opinion, based on currently available information, monkeypox is a virus and disease which is endemic in Africa, emerges sporadically after transmission into humans from animal hosts, and is typically spread by close human contact. It is readily controlled by classical public health measures. It does not have a high mortality rate. But this is a very profound, powerful, research-supported two-page article that's fascinating, in addition to everything else, because one other thing about Dr. Ridgely, he's not only a member of our research team, Minister Farrakhan's research team, he has a gift for storytelling. So when he tells you these things, he does it in a way to get your attention. And, of course, they had a monkeypox simulation last year. Remember they had a COVID simulation where they pretended that there was a global pandemic? And when COVID, that was in September of 2019, and the COVID pandemic followed that simulation to a T. Well, they had a monkeypox simulation back in April and May of 2021. And so it's arriving right on schedule. And here's Minister Farrakhan to close this segment out. Swan Song, February 27th, 2022, quote, and this is what we have lifted in this article. Before the vaccine was made, I warned us in the name of Allah that this was a death plot. And before I went there, I told you of a national security memo by the former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger that they had to kill or cull 2 to 3 billion people from the earth, Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, the way to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people was to offer you a vaccine. That's Minister Farrakhan, February 27th of this year, warning us and warning us again and again. And so we got a very powerful program tonight as we remember the great soldier, Brother Captain Emeritus, Brother Shahid Muhammad, and we will be joined by Student Minister Abdul Waliullah Muhammad of the great city of San Diego, California, one of our great activists. Ministers, and if we behave and we're on our P's and Q's, our general counsel may even drop in. And before we move to that segment, we do want to hear from a sister who's hosting a program. I got to hear the last part of it on Tuesday, but she is hitting home runs week after week, Brother Terrence.
That's right. That's
right. With some of the most brilliant lawyers, educators, social workers, sociologists, community activists, entertainment people who are stars in the performing arts. I mean, you just name it, the whole spectrum. And I'm talking about none other than Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and we want to get her contribution tonight. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much for mentioning A Time for Justice, and I just encourage the listeners to tune in on Tuesday's nights if they can. We appreciate it, and we love you and the entire Elevated Places Network team for your assistance. And, you know, all praises are due to Allah again. And assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir.
Came on with a lot of energy.
Sir?
Came on with a lot of energy. Fired up tonight.
I'm fired up. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I can't wait to hear the rest of the show as we, you know, like Sister Ava say, as we honor our brother student Captain Shahid Muhammad. And I wanted to just pull one article from the Final Call newspaper, this June 7th article entitled Missing Murder Black Women, Girls Cannot Be Ignored Anymore, Not Safe Anymore. And in this article, the editor's note, and this is by, I believe, Tariq Muhammad, he notes that this is going to be a series on the crisis of missing and murdered black women and girls. And he talks in this article about a sister by the name of Erica Marie, who's a journalist and activist who launched a website entitled Our Black Girls in 2018. And it's really a database for missing black women. And she is quoted in this article as to how difficult it is to keep up with the numbers because of the inaccurate reporting of these cases, she said. And she goes on in the article to quote how the National Crime Information Center, it tells us that black women, although making up 90,000 out of the 521,705 missing people in the entire country. And, you know, she was just saying that within the same year, black women and girls were being murdered at a rate of 4 each day. And that's a report from the Federal Bureau of Investigation Crime Data Explorer. And, you know, I thought it was very interesting because I saw an article on a Facebook page called Race, Racism, and the Law. And they wanted to remind us of a story about Breonna Taylor. And they pulled a story from Breonna Taylor, who, as we know, is our sister who was murdered or killed in Louisville as a result of a no-knock warrant being executed on her home. And she was shot by the police. She was a black woman who was killed by the police in this same year of 2020. And in this article, they're raising, you know, I didn't know this claim that the family made, but they say that the warrant also that was executed at her house was connected to a gentrification plan. They're saying that part of the reason why her home was targeted was because they were trying to do a $30 million real estate development gentrification project in her area. And so her shooting is linked to a plan to clear out Louisville neighborhoods. And this was in a lawsuit that her family actually filed. And they say that there was a page from the family's lawsuit that actually highlighted the renderings and showed the homes that were going to be demolished, and that this was one of the reasons why this, they say, place-based investigations, which was a police squad. Now, this is according to this lawsuit that was filed in Jefferson Circuit Court. They say that this police squad had deliberately misled the narcotics detectives to target the home in this area so they could clear out the area for these million-dollar real estate developments. You know, so I thought that was something we needed to just remember, that these targeting of our homes, the targeting of our people, and the economic reasons that are sometimes behind it, aside from just the genocidal plot to kill us, as Brother Terrence has said earlier, you know, we have to build our own. And I think, you know, it would be wonderful if more of our people who have the wealth, we can build our own communities so we can stay safe, as this article is saying, that black women not safe anymore. So I just kind of wanted to add that information in this article that was in the Louisville Courier Journal back in 2020, and repeated again regarding Breonna Taylor and this, you know, link to this gentrification plan. It was also in the Daily Mail in July of 2020. So I wanted to just, you know, give that information. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, Sister Pamela. That's that is so demonic. You know, and I had not heard of that until this moment. But this is something that should give all of us pause. You know, our people have to stop thinking things just happen. You know, there are no coincidences in Islam. This is a universe that is controlled by an all-powerful God, who, for reasons we can't go into on this program, we touch on it all the time, but black people have a history that's the length of which is beyond comprehension, you know, going back trillions of years. And all of this is part of a purge we're undergoing. And the way lives are being lost because we remain in a state of disobedience as a people to Allah's call to us to come out of her, my people. That's all of us. And we're going to do is experience this, but it's just reminding me of the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we've been taught over and over. He said, you cannot fathom the depths of Satan. And so with that, at this time, you know, we're so blessed to have each other who are following the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we can never thank Allah in the person of Master Farid Muhammad enough for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, without whom we just simply, frankly, would not even be here. And so when we lose one, and of course, as the minister has said, time will remove every one of us from the scene. We had a pretty devastating loss very recently, and the life of that soldier was celebrated in Los Angeles, California, this past Saturday. I watched it on NOI.org, and I thought it was very beautiful. And I'm speaking of Brother Captain Emeritus, Student Captain Emeritus Shahid Muhammad, but we're blessed to have with us tonight as our guest one of our extremely active ministers and a wonderful teacher of Islam in America. And he is the local representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Muhammad Mosque No. 8 in San Diego, California. And I'm speaking of none other than Student Minister Abdul Wali Allah Muhammad. He's a very busy brother. He's a businessman as well as a spiritual teacher, husband, father, beautiful family. I was telling someone today how much I enjoy whenever I'm able to get out on the West Coast, not only to speak, but to go to their wonderful home. They are just fabulous hosts and know how to make a person feel comfortable. So my family and I love going there. And with that, I do want to say to you, Brother Minister Abdul Wali Allah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear Sister Minister Ava Muhammad, and to your wonderful team, Brother Terrence, our dear sister who produces. I just want to thank all of you for what you do at Elevated Places. And I just want our sister to talk about missing girls, because it's a very serious situation that she's facing across this country. We
yes,
see it in San Diego. And so it's challenging in both ways. So I'm happy to be on here to thank Allah. So are you able to hear me, Minister Ava?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So, you know.
You're loud and clear. Yes, sir.
I just want to say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And you guys already given, we know who we follow. We thank Allah for the coming of Master Far Muhammad and for the Mahdi and the Messiah. And so we thank you all for always. One of the things I love being on this show, you're not afraid to talk about who we represent and who we're with. And so, you know, we thank Allah. It's always a joy we come. You know, just two things first. I just want to say, you know, I was privileged and honored to be at the janazah for our dear brother, Shahid, a brother who I've known for over 30 years. When I came to Los Angeles as the regional captain, I first met him personally in 1987 when I went out to Los Angeles. When I met him and got to know him greater in 94, when I moved to Los Angeles to become the regional captain of the Western region. And Brother Shahid was the brother, student captain, regional captain in the South. Oliver picked me up, but always it was Shahid who put me up and make sure I was secure and looked out for me as I was new to the West Coast. So I'm so thankful to my brother and my friend. And as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said, he was a soldier's soldier, a warrior's warrior. I can testify to that 100% in the type of brother he was. You know, things that he have saved lives. And I remember one sister that would be ever indebted to him is Sister Captain Emeritus Alice, who one day, Brother Shahid, I just tell a short story and then turn it back over for any questions. There, Brother Shahid were out pushing the Final Call newspaper. And as they were pushing the Final Call newspaper, they went to a house and somebody came out with a gun. And Brother Shahid had not pushed Sister Captain Alice out of the way and put his own life in danger, he would have been shot. And so Shahid has saved many lives. And so, you know, he was a wonderful brother. What I love about him, I'll say it like this, you know, I said, not only was he a protector of the Messiah and his friend and his family, excuse me, he was also a protector of the believer. And Brother Shahid was one of those great soldiers that I would say will go down in our history of one that was a great friend of the Messiah, a great friend and protector of his family, and a great friend and protector of the believers. And so we're indebted to such a great one, as we saw the great tribute paid to him in the Final Call newspaper. His wonderful wife, Sister Tiffany, a great Muslim, you know, carry herself with such dignity and high civilization, you know, it was just tremendous. And of course, you know, like you, Minister Ava, an attorney as well, so I know you're familiar with her. And so her and family, we were blessed, Brother Arf, I'm not sure if he's on the line, but the week before our dear brother made his transition, our national attorney, our student minister, my brother, my friend, a companion on this journey like yourself, he was in Los Angeles visiting with us, you know, at his residence on the West Coast at the house. You know, he had his wonderful wife, our sister Sharon, and we were blessed to go to Los Angeles to be with Brother Shahid on that Monday, which would be about 10 days before the transition. And Brother Arf wanted to make sure we went back up after we visited at his home. Sister Tiffany, we didn't get a chance to see her, so he wanted to come back up, and we drove back up to Los Angeles. Specifically, a part of our going back up was to have dinner with Brother Shahid, and Brother Shahid and Brother Arf, myself, and Brother Kareem, and our wife all went out to dinner. And so we were honored and blessed to see him a couple of days before he made his return to Allah. So we're thankful for him and for the tremendous soldier that he was on the West Coast. And so I'm thankful.
Brother Waliullah? Brother Waliullah's call dropped. So I'm hoping he'll call back in. And in the meantime, Brother, who's that?
Oh, that was Brother Terrence. I'm listening.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. No, I was going to say, I also just opened up the line for our general counsel, Brother Attorney Abdul Arif Muhammad, to join in. And I think Brother Student Minister Waliullah is traveling internationally, so...
Yes, so we'll
I'm sure he'll call back in, because I want to wait till he's back on, because he also is in the current issue of the Final Call newspaper.
That's right.
But the Student Minister Waliullah, because as I noted earlier, he is a not only a teacher but an activist, and so I wanted to make note of that for our listeners. But in the meantime, Brother Arif, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister, Minister Ava Mohammed. How are you this evening?
Well, by the grace and mercy of Allah, I'm doing fine, and I thank you for taking time out from your schedule and your day and early evening to join us this evening as we are celebrating the life of Brother Shahid Muhammad, and then, of course, the world events that have become part and parcel of the last days are continuing to unfold. Yet another mass shooting yesterday. And we have just a whole lot to talk about, but I think you heard Brother Waliullah mention that you and your wives all went out together. And, of course, you work with the nation's attorneys, including Sister Tiffany, and I think Sister Pamela is, she should still, her mic should still be open because she and Sister Tiffany, the wife of Brother Shahid, have a pretty close relationship. Yes. So whatever you all wish to hear, we would love to hear it. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and I believe
all,
I'm back on
also
the stage
to your,
let you know.
Oh, there he is.
Praise
there he is.
Please excuse my interruption, my dear brother. Please.
I didn't get started, so you didn't interrupt.
So cordial. So go ahead. I'm going to let you go, and I'll just, I'm just honored to be on the show and be with you and with Minister Ava and the team here. So I think I had finished up what I was saying. We're just concluding, and Minister Ava mentioned our being with Brother Shahid and being with him. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to you, my dear brother.
Well, thank
well,
you, dear
I
brother, and again.
May I be a bridge to my dear brother, student minister and general counsel? I just want to bring to the attention of the listeners that student minister Abdul Waliullah Muhammad is featured in the current edition of the Final Call newspaper. As I told all of you, he is an activist, and he also is the founder and CEO of I Am My Brother's Keeper, and they hosted a celebratory event that you should enjoy and read about in the Final Call newspaper. They have been engaged deeply in food distribution services in San Diego, and our beloved sister, Walia, your beautiful wife also. So I just wanted to say that. And now, Brother Attorney Arif Muhammad, please shed some light on our discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, some leg unto, of course, Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela, and of course your great producer, and all of the staff that help make this a most excellent show every week, always filled with knowledge and information. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, good. Somebody. Okay, and so. In reflection on my brother, Brother Waliullah, we already said it before I came to California, really for a respite. I don't like to say vacation, but a respite, you know, to refresh and recharge. I had called Brother Shahid to let him know I was coming. And so, of course, he and I, as with Brother Waliullah, we've had a long-standing relationship, 30-plus years. And I remember in the early 90s when I was actually going out to California as the attorney for NOI Security, and we were doing work in Los Angeles in terms of establishing contracts to protect housings and different venues. When I would be there, it would be Brother Shahid who would be the one who would pick me up. And actually, I didn't stay in Los Angeles. I actually stayed in Compton with him as he was the captain of the mosque in Compton. So I was shuttled sometimes between, I stayed more in Compton than I did in L.A. Now, when I stayed in L.A., I stayed at the home of our great Captain Emeritus Wali Muhammad. So I was blessed to be with both of those great men, but I hung mostly, as we would say, I hung out mostly with Brother Captain Shahid and the brothers in Compton Mosque, and actually stayed at a hotel out there that was associated with Brother Omar, Bradley, who ultimately became the mayor. And so he was always a protector. He would always look out for us. Mm-hmm. And he was respected and if you know anything about Los Angeles, he was respected, translated, feared out there because he was a man that was no nonsense, and he was a fearless man. He was also a righteous man because whenever you was around Brother Shaheed, all you would hear him talk about is Islam and getting in the temple. That's how he called it, you know, the old school teaching, get in the temple. And whenever he would be talking to somebody, you know, brother, you need to come to the temple. You know, we got classes for the men. We got you get your wife, she for the sister. And we got meetings on Wednesday and Friday and Sunday, hear the teachings of the minister. So he, humble Elijah Muhammad. So he, whenever you was around him, that's what he was on all the time. And whenever he was talking about something, it 9 times out of 10 was talking about the temple, getting in the teachings. And so, you know, he really lived it, you know, in his being. And he was legendary, not only in Compton, but legendary in L.A. And there are a lot of stories that we could tell, but they wouldn't be for radio. Just in terms of, because it was some rough times back then. And to have a man like that that had your back, and that's why I called him a companion, a brother, and a protector. He was that kind of a man, but his heart was filled with the love of Allah, his Christ, and the minister, and Islam. And, you know, I was just awestruck by the minister's writing of him in terms of what he wrote. And I've seen the minister, you know, he as you know, Minister David, he's written things like this before in tribute to someone, but the way he wrote this about brother was so profound, you know. And I was saying to myself, you know, the scripture, and die not unless you are Muslim. See? And
that's right.
What the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wrote to me was one of the most beautiful testaments, you know. And I know that it made his wife... Right, his wife was so proud. Sister, of course, Tiffany and I have known each other ever since she was in law school back in Houston. And, of course, her and Sister Pamela have a close relationship as well. And I had spoken with her, and she was just so honored over what had been written by the minister. And I have to give credit to that sister. She, I was blessed to talk to her nearly every day. Up to the janazah, and she was strong. Her spirit was strong. She handled herself with dignity. Even at the repast, she was serving. She was that type of sister. And is that type of sister. So she should be respected as well, and we should be proud of her, as she also stood strong as a soldier, accepting Allah's will, and to help raise her and Brother Shaheed's son, and just continue on with the march of life, because we're here to carry that on. So I will forever keep brother in my heart, and he was my big brother in more ways than one, not just in stature, but he was always concerned. Brother, you need to take these vitamins. Brother, you need to get this. He was always talking about, and he did. He was always talking about health, and always checking in, brother. What's going on? You know, how's everything? And so it was that type of genuine brotherhood, and that's rare when you can find it. So, you know, we know it was Allah's will, and we all have to submit. But man, you know, I'm just in deep reflection about a man like that who really, you know, there are people that come on this planet, as we know, looking at a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, there'll never be another. You understand?
That's right.
You just can't, that's just, You know, they make the statement they broke
one
the mold,
one.
So to speak. Yeah, one of one.
Right.
Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
Brother Sahih was like that. He was one of one. You know,
right.
singularly unique in so many beautiful aspects. So we thank Allah for the privilege of having known him and soldiering with him and being his brother and companion in this struggle.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Yes, 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 ma'am. And Sister Ava, I wanted to.
No, go ahead, Sister Pamela. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to say, as everyone has noted, Sister Attorney Tiffany is a really, you know, great MGT and friend. And, you know, I want everybody to know that, you know, she comes from that ilk of being a vanguard. And I think she and Brother Captain Shahid were so great of an example and of a reminder of health and exercise and fitness. You know, they were the type when, you know, I'd be around, I'd feel a little like, okay, you better be on your best, you know, how to eat to live, because they kept that practice at the forefront. And, you
yeah.
know, I also wanted to say that the show that I did on Tuesday, in my heart, you know, was on mentorship, because when, as in Sister Tiffany, as they wrote in the final call, how Brother Captain Shahid is quoted in the final call that under Minister Farrakhan's guidance, he became an integral part in saving lives, cleaning the streets, protecting the community, you know, executing
mm-hmm.
gang truces and creating employment and helping to elect the mayor, you know, of Compton. And so for me, just being a person who's like, okay, our mission is to be, you know, helping our people, you know, working our people, lifting up our people, teaching our people, I thank Allah for, you know, having that experience from Brother Captain Shahid. So that was something I wanted to say.
All praise due to Allah.
Yes,
ma'am.
All praise due to Allah.
And, you know, to, Brother Wali Allah, you were going to weigh in.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say just the article finishes with also the minister's words about Brother Shahid and the type of man
yeah.
that comes this yeah. way. And he talked about like Colin Ben Wallet and just how he talked about those type of
yeah.
soldiers that we know that are still spoken of, you know, hundreds of years later for their
yeah.
contribution, you know, for justice. And Brother Shahid is definitely one of those. You were mentioned I'm in Jamaica traveling. I'm actually in Jamaica with my dear mother of 87 years young, who's also sitting here listening to the show as well with us. I'm in Jamaica.
Yes, ma'am. Give her our loving greetings. We are so honored.
Yes, ma'am. So she heard you.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Wow. That was a treat, straight from Jamaica. That is a treat. We had a pause for that.
I'm smiling.
The mother speaking
to
us. Wow.
What an evening.
Enjoying the
train. Crazy. Boy, Allah blesses us so, in so many ways. Thank you. Well, but yes, sir.
But yes, sir.
You were speaking of the statement, Brother Wali Allah, that the minister wrote, and his comparison, you know, of our brother. That's such a high honor. And it was one deserved, because every one of us has that story of his. And, you know, he and my husband had a very special friendship, and my husband was actually trying to call him in the last days before his passing, and he was, you know, a little bit frustrated because it wasn't like him, you know, not to return the call. And I've already shared with members of the council, and I think I may have shared it on the program last week, that he sent me, Brother Shahid sent me a text last Mother's Day in 2021, and it was a big capital letters, you know, and it said, "Happy Mother's Day, Queen. It's Shahid out in L.A." And so I sent him back a thank you and a little, little heart emoji. And then I got the day before the janazah service, someone sent me the flyer announcing the celebration of service for him from his phone. So that might have been Sister Tiffany, might have been one of the children, but it just touched me. You know, and they didn't say who they were, but they just sent it on his phone to me. But these are the type of experiences, you know, all of us can relate. And, you know, for the minister, I'm like Brother Arif, you know, the minister has, you know, been among us for close to 70 years and has been such a critical part of the landscape of all of Black America and then all of original people around the world, that there's very few of us that know life without him. And he has always found time. And I say to people, you know, how they'll say so-and-so knows everybody. Minister Farrakhan literally knows everybody. I don't think, I've said this before, I don't think there's any president of the United States, any world leader that can hold a candle to him, you know,
that's right.
in their reach. And, you know, when presidents of the United States and monarchs, you know, and prime ministers, when they travel, they get off the plane, they run into some conference, or they'll shake hands with a couple of dignitaries, and they jump back on the plane. The minister stays. He goes in countries, and he goes where the people are, okay?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He moves from the very top of society down to the man in the street who needs a piece of bread, and he'll give it to him.
Literally,
you know,
literally.
I mean, this is – you know, Barack Obama sat in his office when he was running for the Senate, okay,
right.
And the FOI went out and campaigned for him, you know, and the minister walked the streets of the west side of Chicago, and brothers that are shirtless, you know, brothers, you know, hugging him, you know, the elderly, the youth, the children, you name it. And so this is a man that fits every description that is in the so-called New Testament, because that New Testament was prophetic. We're actually living it now. And I would say to everybody, get the final call. You should get it just to see the minister's statement on the passing.
That's right.
Student Captain Emeritus Shahid Muhammad, and then the beautiful article, the story that was done, and the photos. And you know, I haven't seen, and I'm going to be quiet. I watched it, you know, on my laptop on NOI.org, and what stood out to me, and I told Sister Pamela this earlier, I haven't seen the FOI like that in a long time. You know, the soldiers, you know, and it spoke volumes about the kind of man he was, you know, and to see all the captains come out to see the men, and when the brothers carried the casket in, and then Brother Malik Saeed Muhammad's message was so FOI. It was just such a tribute, and it just took me all the way back to the days of when Brother Khalid was the Supreme Captain, and you know, because when I came in the early 80s, we were getting in scuffles, physical fights with people. Okay,
come on.
So, you know, people were saying Louis Farrakhan cannot call himself the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because I came in 82, 40 years ago this year, and He was still in the process of the rebuilding. And so a lot that people take for granted now, to see this man of the stature that he is, we were being challenged every step of the way. Every step.
That's right.
Like, you know, he has no right to have no radio show. He shouldn't be teaching at it. And this man, Shahid Muhammad, is one of those who literally always stood willing and demonstrated his willingness to lay his life down without a second's hesitation for
That's
the
right.
cause of it. Yeah. Well, we've got people
and
forth.
No, and Dr. Ava, I know both of them got more stories to tell, because I just remember being in L.A. and as our Sister Georgina and Sister Valerie, they're tweeting and they're Facebooking and putting stuff out. And it was just one of the pictures I had with Brother Shaheen and Brother Marcus. It's one of those things where I knew I had, and this was a couple of years back, had to take this picture, because it was like, this is the great Shaheen. He was just one of those brothers that was like that OG that you had to pay respect. Right. You can't just pass by this OG, and that's one of the soldiers in the nation. Like when, you know, the minister comes, you know, certain people come with the details, certain ones you know, just step aside. That's, you know, and Shaheen will come to the stage. He'll look for the seat. What you need, Shaheen? Whatever you need, because you knew the service and you knew the brother. And the beauty of what both of them, both of our brothers have said about him is that we were very clear that he's a soldier. No nonsense. He ain't going to play about the minister. But in truth and right, he got your back. He's your brother. He is concerned about you, and he will go to war with you. And that's the beauty of him, because he will literally concern about your well-being and concerned about how you were doing. I mean, it was a genuine love. And like I said, but if you wanted to go to war, you would go with Shaheed, not just because of him, but who he commanded. Because the men were going to battle with Brother Shaheed. And the men, not just FOI, but the men were going to battle with Shaheed. He can go in the streets and pull up the soldiers to go to battle. And that's the kind of reputation that he had. He was honored and reverence.
That's right, Brother Terrence. I was going to say, just to add to that, Brother Terrence, Brother Arf, who Minister Arf had mentioned it earlier, you know, the type of life that he lived as a Muslim. And, you know, one thing you know about Brother Shaheed, he had, you know, we were modern, from the street to the suite. And so you have to be able to touch the life in every area. Brother Shaheed, literally, when it came about the Muslim community, he had such great relationship with the Imam community and, of course, had a vision gap that you would find every Friday, Brother Shaheed would be at Juma. Just at the top of Muslim, every Sunday, he's going to be at the mosque, you know, when he is. And it was such a tribute that when I spoke to his son, Sharif, it was on that Sunday. And he said, Brother Sudamith, I'm just coming back to the hospital. And I went and took my father's charity, and I went and paid his final call newspaper. You know, because Brother Shaheed was still carrying 100 papers a week and getting them out and doing the best that he could at that age. And even although he wasn't able to get out the way he used to get out, he didn't stop getting the paper, giving them away, and doing everything he could because he believed in that so much. And that's why, you know, when the minister said such a man was Brother Shaheed, you can see those of us that had the honor, the privilege to soldier with him, you know. And like Brother Terrence, and there's a lot of stories out there, Brother Terrence, there's no doubt. And if you think of the life that he has saved and the people have come to him and from the truces and everything else. So it's truly an honor to have a soldier like this. But as the minister said, you can't die the death of a Muslim unless you live the life of a Muslim. And Brother Shaheed was definitely his name, a bearer of witness, was witnessing and bearing witness to the majesty of Master Far Muhammad, is Matt the Christ, the most humble Elijah Muhammad, and the Messiah in our midst, the humble minister Louis Farrakhan. And he stood on that, even when he went amongst the Imam community. He never backed away from that, and he had no problem, as the minister demonstrates. He goes all over the world. But the Honorable Minister Farrakhan never stopped telling us and telling them of God's intervention in our affairs, as he has done in other people's affairs, in the person of Master Farrakhan Muhammad. And Shaheed was just that type of a brother as well. He wasn't the breakdown, as it was said earlier by others, from that. So it's just an honor just to be able to talk about him and to reminisce. And I would say, I don't like that word reminisce, but to reflect on such a soldier. And I know I will remember him, I pray Allah, all the days of my life, because I know the type of soldier he demonstrated himself to be. So alhamdulillah, thank Allah for him. And I want to say this, the relationship that he had with our Supreme Captain as well, you know, where the minister's family was, the Messiah's family was, one person you can always make sure to call is going to be that brother Shaheed. And he would always look out for the minister's family and for the believers. So that's why he's such a soldier, and that's why we could keep talking. I could tell a few of those stories, Brother Terrence, you know, people talking about the Messiah. I heard. I don't want to say it. I've heard comedians, famous comedians, talking about the minister telling one joke too many and didn't know who was in the audience. I heard he might have been pulled off the stage, and I heard he might have been given a pumpkin head or two. But I don't want to tell those stories. The brother R said that's not for radio, so I don't want you to hear those stories. But one thing you did not do around Brother Shaheed, just like they didn't take it when it was the message of Most High Elijah Muhammad, you don't talk about Farrakhan and think you're going to say too many words. We warned you one time. After that, the wrath of God is going to find you.
Just
that's
one time.
Brother Shaheed. Well, I'll just tell you, he was just like he was pride of, people realize he was pride of 75. And just like we didn't tolerate then, we don't tolerate now disrespect of God's servant. And Shaheed was a stickler for that. He'll give you a warning, but if you continue, you're not going to disrespect God's servant. And that's how
that's
it's
right.
going to be. That's
right.
The type of example that he set for the soldiers. Allah say don't
that's
allow
right.
them in the Quran. For the, you don't keep company with them. We gave them a pumpkin head or two, and then we left them alone. Didn't keep company, but we gave him something to remember us by. Well, I should say he gave him something to remember us by.
He
I didn't mean to interrupt you guys. Sorry about that.
He left something to remember.
Okay, he left you something to remember us by now.
A little token, yes.
A little token. What kind of Muslim would you be if you didn't leave him a little gift?
I know that's right. That's part of being a Muslim. And you know,
right.
we're going to go to the phones, but I listening to this wonderful discussion. You know, when we lose someone, you start thinking on why now. You know, it was like with Hafiz, because my husband and I, we were close to Brother Student Minister Hafiz and his wife. And, you know, when Minister Farrakhan in the Criterion shared with us that he went through that, and then what Allah revealed to him, and then how Brother Hafiz is a martyr, as are those who have lost their lives during this time as a result of this whole pandemic and everything that it uncovered and brought up. And, you know, again, I just can't stress how deeply affected I was watching the Fruit of Islam and that photo that's in the paper now, you know, watching the brothers line up to come up on the stage to stand at the casket to pay their respects, and our brother Student Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan there, and the family there, and all the sisters, and this for us was necessary, you know, and it took this type of man to bring bring us together in this way, because it's a reminder that we are at war. It is a reminder in a time when there's been a lot of softness has settled in, you know, a lot of sort of, you know, hanging around and yucking it up. And, you know, we're not picking cotton. We're not in the holds of slave ships. You know, I was telling Sister Pamela, I'd been watching the biography of Theodore Roosevelt on the History Channel, and he went into office when America was at her peak of hatred and contempt, 1901, you know, the early 20th century, lynching every day, you know, the blackface, making mockery of us, killing us, making life miserable for us in every way that white America knew how to do it. And we have not suffered that. Yes, we are losing lives, but we don't know the darkness that our ancestors had to come through for us to be here. But when I saw the fruit of Islam last Saturday up there, it brought back, we are an army, and we have a nation. We have our God. We have our belief system. We have our flag. We have our Constitution, and we are out now engaging in land acquisition. This is real, that it is happening. And the life of this brother, and it did, as the minister said in the letter, it was a shock. You know, it's like Sister Pamela just brought out the good health, you know, and Brother Shahid had certain health crises come along, but he and Sister Tiffany, they do represent that, you know, the what a Muslim looks like, what a Muslim lives like, because he lived that life, you know, and it just brought us back to the reality of what we're blessed to be a part of, you know, and it helped make me recommit that I'm gonna do more and work harder, because being in an era of mercy. And Minister Farrakhan is a trial in that sense, because he is God's mercy personified. And so when you live in mercy, you can get disconnected from the fact you're receiving favor and the fact that his humility allows us to really get away with things we shouldn't be getting away with. You know, even in our handling of him and each other, we have to be more grateful for each day, each hour, each moment that we have together. But we got to be ready to fight the good fight and be ready to throw down. Because as the minister said, time is going to remove every one of us from the scene. So it's not a matter of if we're leaving, it's when. But the issue is, what are we doing in this little short time that the scriptures say life is like a vapor? You know, no matter how long you're here, it seems like you haven't been here but a minute. And we're not even living a tenth of the capacity that Allah gave us. We could be here 1,000 years. So I'm just very touched by, you know, being able to hear you all tonight, you know, from up close and personal, and, you know, being fellow soldiers in this. But, you know, we got to realize and never lose sight and never let Satan make us lose sight that he has an active policy of depopulation, of removing 2 to 3 billion people, mostly original people, from this earth, down to trying to jab our newborn infants with this needle of poison. And it's time to get it on. Babies being gunned down in school, 10-year-old trying to call 911, and nobody ever came. Now, what is this? This world has got to go. And the only thing slowing it down is our being so equivocal. We're not firm enough. We're not like him, Minister Farrakhan. He's in the world, but he's not of it. And he's ready and stays ready to throw his life down for this cause. And that alone has kept this enemy back up off of us. So imagine if we would align our mind with his mind, as he has done with aligning his mind with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So time to step off the soapbox, and I know people want to talk to y'all. Let's go to the phone, and it's none other than Brother Soldier, Brother Hoyle, Brother Fisherman.
Assalamu alaikum. This is a beautiful show, and all praises due to Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence and Brother Student Minister and Brother Arif. Beautiful show. The times may Allah be pleased, Sister Pamela, too. May Allah be pleased with our brother. You know, Sister Ava, that is an example of a brother that is the power. I say the power of walking the walk. He's the power of, he's not talking the talk. He's walking the walk. You know, and I just reading over his life. I saw him in D.C. I never really got a chance to know him like you guys did, but just the time I did see him, his presence and his aura was powerful. And, you know, you just look back over his life. He was in the elite, selling 1,000 final calls. And Brother Saeed said, Minister, in Los Angeles said he helped him, you know, learn how to fish. You know, he was from that old school of work, you know, and that's how you get your blessings. You know, I love examples of brothers like this that give me, you know, to make me, you know, that's how I get my life, Sister Ava. You know, go out and have fishing. You know, that's why I'm the second top fisherman in the Nation of Islam. So, you know, I do that, and I'm not trying to toot no horn. I'm just out here, you know, and I try to get out and try to be an example to the young brothers coming in now for a while to get out here. That's how you get your life. Get the paper to the people, work. You know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said work. Work if you're sick. Work however you're feeling, work. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's how we get our power as believers. And then I just wish I could be half the Brother Shaheed. But just to add something, I sent something to Sister Pamela and Brother Terrence. Sister Ava, you know, was a sister shot in Kansas City, a pregnant sister. The police shot her.
Right.
This was... Yeah, two Kansas City police officers shot an unarmed 26-year-old pregnant black woman. Yes, and she had her hands up. She complied. They say she was riding with a brother. They say carjacked a person. You know, they can make up anything. But they actually, I had the video on my timeline. I'll send it to you, Sister Ava. But it's horrible, but you know, just devils just being themselves. So, like Brother Terrence was saying about the brother, in Tulsa, and it's just, we're just living in a time where we need to separate, you know, but, I just want to, I know this show is about Brother Shaheed and this powerful, his beautiful life and his example. And, I thank you brothers for, you know, bringing up and telling stories about his life. He played basketball. You know, I played college basketball. So, I mean, you know, he played with the Portland Trail Blazers. And, wow, you know, a powerful brother. So it's just, you know, it's a beautiful example for all of our Muslim family. So I just want to thank him. I'm going to let somebody else talk. And thank you, Sister Ava, for having these brothers on talk about this beautiful brother's life. Assalamu alaikum.
I just wanted to ask you real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
The sister in Kansas, they killed her?
I don't know if she died yet, but it's been all over the social media, Sister Ava. This happened a couple of days ago. Yeah, a couple of days ago. Yes, ma'am. I sent it to Sister Pamela and in it, you know, Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela. I'm okay. Anytime I get something like that, especially Sister Pamela being an attorney and Brother Terrence, since we all, you know, work on the show, I'm going to start sending you some stuff too, Sister Ava, if you can get it. But, you know, so much stuff happening every day with
it
our
is,
people. So we just got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
so
right,
it's yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Well, like you said.
And her name is Leona Hell. L-E-O-N-N-A-H-A-L-E, Leona Hell.
This is endless. This is the nature of these people. And there's only one solution, and it's the best solution. Best and only solution. Okay, we've got Sister Ula. She has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, sis?
Oh, we're doing fine by the grace of Allah. Thank you so much, sister. And you?
I'm doing excellent. I told the brother, I had a brother with me. He's 89, the 30th of July. I told him, I said, if I get to say, I'm going to get before I drop you off at home, I'm going to let you talk to him. He's a student minister in the nation. He was married 60 years to, he just lost his wife, and he is full of knowledge. But I called and thought about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said when he was looking at a funeral procession. He said that he looked at this funeral procession and he thought to himself, if he could have, if these people, all these people that are following if they had been there when he was alive, and I'm not saying everybody wasn't there for him, but I'm talking nutrition, Sister Ava. I am asking Allah to put in place, implement something in place where more nutrition can be placed in the hands of individuals so that they are healthy. As it says in English Lesson 2, and then I'm going to get off. A Muslim is not a Muslim till he or she is healthy, happy, and prosperous. And good health comes from harmonious adjustment with the inner world and the outer world with one surrounding. So I just want to share that with you. I love you, and I pray that Allah bless and be with you and the members of your family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to jump in here. A couple of quick things. I'll just look it through my calendar. And just to let you know, on this day, 9 years ago, you spoke on our national webcast on that morning. And then that afternoon, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke in St. Louis. And I only bring that up because prior to him speaking, there was a tornado in St. Louis that tore down a tree at the Captain's Retreat that was 100 years old, and the power was out, destruction. But the minister was still teaching at dinner while the storm was causing destruction outside his window. And that man, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's just a historical point at this moment. I just wanted to share on this timeline. But also, I also want to go back to the janaza when we talked about basketball. Chris Paul was also there at the janaza on stage sitting beside our Mustafa son. And just to know that who was there in the audience, you know, for our brother that was there on that day.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, and that's important to note, too, the impact that he made, you know, beyond our community. That's important to note. Yes, sir. In his own right. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay. We're going to go to the lines in. We have Sister Marguerite out of Phoenix, and she has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ava and Brother Karen. And I wanted to give a shout out to my nephew, Earl Ralph, who was the first place winner in that jiu-jitsu contest championship that you mentioned, brother Terrence. So you guys can see a handsome young man and is just very talented. But I wanted to also make a comment about where you talked about the zip codes, Dr. Ava. When I was working with Arizona's Children, I had a friend who worked for one of the Catholic Children's Services. And when she found out what I was doing, she says, you know, I found came across a document that shows they're targeting zip codes and removing children from those zip codes. So I begged her. I said, please go and find me that documentation. I would love to have that. But for some reason, she was never able to relocate it. She said it came across her computer one day, and it was gone the next. So when you talk about the depths of Satan, he just he has no bounds. So when you're looking at they're targeting these poor areas and single parents for removal of children, you don't get much more diabolical than that.
My God. Well, it's what we're taught. You cannot fathom the depths of Satan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And Sister Ava, I wanted to say, after the Chris Paul comment, I have to say also, I haven't heard it mentioned, but in the article on Brother Captain Shaheed, it also talks about how he helped attract local entertainers to the mosque, such as MC Ren and West Coast Cam, but also Ice Cube. And Ice Cube is so instrumental, even for me, because I can remember being that lawyer in the 90s going to court before I joined the Nation and hearing Ice Cube, you know, talking about the teachings. And I just am so thankful for that because it really planted a seed in my heart and made me seek more truth. And also wanted to mention Johnny Cox. This article does mention how Brother Shaheed was loved by Johnny Cochran, loved and respected for the work that he did. So, yes, ma'am.
My goodness. We can't even measure sometimes. And, you know, we just take each other, and I'm not saying it in any negative way, but we just don't expect each other to not be here the next day.
Right.
You know, the that's one of the things, as the minister wrote in his statement, you know, what a shock it was. And as Brother Arif pointed out, the minister has written many letters upon, and very, very powerful and sincere letters, but this one just stands out, unlike, you know, any that I've seen before. And especially his comparison of our brother to the great warriors in the time of Prophet Muhammad, who came into the fold of Islam and came under his command, and their ability to fight and their warlike nature, you know, and their desire to make things right, but it was out in the world. But when they came into the fold of Islam, all of that was turned toward the cause of Islam, you know, because we have to have warriors in this. Somebody's got to fight.
You know, Dr. Ava, as I was watching the janazah, it just, in reading the minister's words, it just reminded me of one of my favorite movies, The Gladiator, where at the end, after the treachery by the emperor of puncturing his lung before the fight, and he won anyway, but he ultimately succumbed. But what I loved was when the princess came out and said, he is a soldier of Rome.
Right.
Who would help me to honor him.
Come on.
And they came and lifted him up on his shoulder and
that's
carried
right.
him out from the arena and left the emperor laying there in the dirt.
Look Come on,
man. And I thought about that when I saw the janazah. Here is a soldier of the nation.
That's right.
And
Come on,
look at the honor that he was paid and the highest honor from the Messiah to write those words. And the touching thing, if you are FOI, if you are a soldier and you know what we teach, to lose, when you lose a great one like that, that came in the line that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, it was heartwarming that the words of the Quran was true and die not unless you are Muslim.
Wow.
So
that's right.
That was my reflection on that.
That's powerful.
And Dr. Ava, you three really kind of go a little bit deeper? Because something that you said that I don't sometimes think, you know, we really don't study history. We talk about prior to 75, we talk about the civil rights, but we really don't talk about our current history. And what I mean by that is the fight that you all had to do 40, 30 years ago, the fight to reestablish Islam. Because there's some cookie cutter soldiers, you know, as some people that have pledged back in the day. So no, we pledged back in the day. We don't do that now per se. And there's a way that you all came up, having to fight and really had to soldier, the weight of the world and the brunt of what the minister was going as he was establishing, rebuilding. The nation and how Shahid played a role in that, and just how you all, you know, what was going on during those times in the 80s and 90s. Because when we talk about him being a soldier, what makes him a soldier? What was it that made him such an impactful person to the nation and to the community that he served? And I'm saying that as far as what was going on in that time period as we rebuild it.
Well, Brother Terrence, I can tell you very candidly, you know, when I was blessed to come into the nation after meeting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1979 and going right into the ministry in my hometown in Baltimore, I was literally a soldier by myself. There were no other persons in the city, male or female, that actually believed. So I had my bundle of Final Call newspapers when they just had come out in 79. And I would be on the bus. I didn't have a car. I was soldiering on the bus. I was soldiering on the corners. And I can remember that during that time, the hostile environment. You know, I had on my bow tie and everything, and I would see some of the Muslims in the other community, and they would be like, Were you a relic of the past, young man? What are you doing? You know, that's old. And there were times when it became very contentious. And there were incidents where it did become physical because at that time, they were the predominant at the time in the
that's
very
right.
beginning days. So you had to literally stand your ground, and you had to fight and have the strength to resist and to fight if it came to that. And that happened in the early days, just like it did in the time of the prophet in the early days. You know, I mean, it when you soldier, you know, I mean, like I said, there are a lot of stories, but you had to be ready in those days to be firm and know who you believe in. People would be making mockery of you and, you know, talking about what is this thing that you're doing? That's gone.
That's, right.
That's no more. Why are you trying to continue this on? And like Sister Ava was saying, well, who said Farrakhan was the representative? You understand? You had to deal with all of this type of stuff in those days. And it took a while. It took a while to crack the ice, so to speak. You know. I would say by the time of the first Savior's Day, when Allah blessed the minister to launch Savior's Day 1 of the rebuilding of the nation, it still was intense. There was a lot of things that were happening in those early days as we were fighting to establish or reestablish the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who himself was under attack. And we don't have time to go into all of those aspects, but, you know, you had to be ready to fight for Islam. And that's really kind of where we are today in this hour with the insanity of the unraveling of this world. You know, the minister said, Dr. Elijah Muhammad said, one day we'll know the meaning of the word. We are fighting for Islam, and we will surely win. With our Savior, Allah, the Universal King, we are united with our nation and called by his name. So let us fight, ye Muslims, fight for your own. So you got to have that strength and conviction as a believer to believe, not only believe in your faith, but to defend it if you are attacked.
And I just add what Brother Arf was saying. You know, I heard this in 1982. And in 1982, the same year, Brother Dennis, the minister sent there, he opened up the city of Baltimore surrounding areas in the early 80s. And we also had to fight during those days. You know, and of course, you know, 9 and 8.
Brother Walid Allah, we're having trouble hearing you.
Let me move around out here, Sister Ava, and see if my wife had texted me and said that, you know, I should have moved already, but my mom was also listening. Is that any better?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is this a little better?
Yes, sir.
A little better?
That's okay, even better.
Praise be to Allah. So I was saying, so in 81 and 82, when Brother Arthur was talking about those early days fighting, we faced some of the same and similar situations as we started opening up other cities throughout the country as we were rebuilding and reopening many cities, such as in Buffalo. So in 85, when I graduated from the university and came home, you know, we were also fighting. You know, we would try not to, but even with, as he said, the other Muslim community, the issues that they might have had with us as well, and we worked our best not to fight. But when people did something, I remember one time, you know, we beat somebody so bad that they said, that, I don't know why you mess with the Muslim. They don't mess with nobody. He deserved what he got. Because we were trying not to deal with you, but it was only but so much we were going to be able to take with your disrespect and, you know, outright, you know, aggression against us. So we are in that time again. We just have to be very wise that we don't make the enemy provoke us, that we lose any of our lives. But if we're attacked, we have to make statements and examples of people. And I'm going back to Brother Shahid. That's the type of brother he was. You know, but when it's time to fight, we're just making an example. And, you know, it's like that was shot back. You know, they should have known that. The Muslims don't bother nobody. Why they have to?
That's
why
right.
Did they, you know? Listen, and so that's the type of spirit that we have to have. So I saw that same challenges that we saw. We were rebuilding Buffalo, and my wife Walia, as she came in the mid '80s as well, as we struggled in that city and expanded into those other cities and opened up other areas. We found that same aggression each year we went because people did not want to hear the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as Brother Minister, through the Minister R said, we had, through the Minister Ava, we had that same reality all from the Imam's community. What Shahid did with that, he built that bond that Minister Malik, who did a wonderful job, through the Minister Malik Shahid, the regional minister, he said that many of those Muslims are saying, you know, Shahid was an example. We need to pretty much start looking at this again. I'm going back to the mosque because his example was so strong in how he represented the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I just wanted to say, you know, I concur, Brother Arf. You know, we were in those stages where we were fighting and defending. We're in those stages again because, you know, the righteous is going to have to defend our position. you know, so much could be said on that, but I'm going to stop right there.
Well,
we were taught, and this is really the key. We are taught to fight harder with the truth. So that means that in terms of the work, you look at a man like Brother Captain Shaheed Emeritus, and he worked. What distinguished him was his work. And we all know we have to pick out our pace to go after our people and to warn them of the time and to fight hard with the truth. And we're never the aggressor in word or in deed. But if we are attacked, then we fight with those who fight with us in the name of Allah, and he will bless us to be the winner.
That's exactly right.
Sister Ava, I didn't want to keep jumping in. I just wanted to let you know that thanks to Brother Amir's wife, Sister Sierra, Brother Shaheed's son, Brother Amir, I want to be on, but he wasn't able to be on. He's trying to see if he can call in. That's Brother Shaheed's son, Brother Amir, who I work along with on the National Training Committee staff. And she also wanted to remind us that his janaza was on Memorial and during the Memorial weekend, you know, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
A soldier doing, you know, because, yeah, we honor our soldiers. So it is very significant during Memorial Day weekend that we honor a soldier and lift it, as Brother Arf said, lifting him up over our shoulders, just like that gladiator from the movie, because he was definitely a gladiator. Fighting for Islam.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, as Brother Arif and Brother Wali were pointing out, you know, when we came in, too, it was very, very close in time to the departure. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed in 1975.
Right.
So when you have Arif coming in 79, that's just 4 years. You know, and then less than 82. See, that's 7 years. So everybody was around. You see, all of, you know, Imam Warthuddin had his following, his, you know, and was still really occupying that central seat. You know, he had usurped it. And we ran into that constantly. You're not the real Muslims. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he taught good things, and, you know, we appreciate how he to live and this and that and the other. But, you know, they had all turned toward the East and the Arabs and had, you know, the there was no belief that the first thing that was attacked in the wake of the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the teaching on the mother plane. And Minister Farrakhan said, you know, we can never measure what the minister did. We can't, there's no way to measure it. Because you're talking about the coming of God himself and then all that his presence brought up and the man he raised up and then all that he taught being obliterated in terms of in our mind as black people and those who claim to follow it, just gone. And as the minister reminded us not too long ago, it was in a council meeting within the last few years, and he said, at the heart of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the mother plane. And that was the first thing thrown out as fiction, okay? And why is it at the heart of the teaching? Because this is about God's judgment. And we don't worship a spook god. Master Farid Muhammad came to destroy spookism. And so you have a people terrorized and terrified of an oppressor. And without us having backup, we will never be able to stand up in the face of this oppressor whose evil and power to execute on his evil has no bounds, blows whole nations into obliteration. Look what they did to Japan at the end of World War II, just obliterated two major cities. They invent something, and the first thing they do with it is wipe out humanity. So how do we stand up against that if we don't know we are backed by a superior power? So without that weapon backing us, it takes the spine out of the nation. It's at the core, at the heart of these teachings. And then you have the most, as he said, the most profound statement ever made. Four words. God is a man.
A man. Go ahead. That's right.
See, when you lose that, when you lose that God is a man, when you lose the reality of the wheel. See, the Muhammad speaks would come out, and in the early days of the final call, you know, nothing mainstream at all. See, look at the minister's lectures, separation or death, the unraveling of a great nation. There's no black man or woman teaching that, talking like that, then or now. And I remember a sister in Atlanta said, who had been in what we called the first, she was in the nation before 75, she said, I never left the nation left me. I was in my garment 24/7. She said, but I woke up one day and there was no nation. I mean, think about that. This is your life. And when we came in, and Brother Arif, Brother Wali Allah bear witness, it was different than now, because now it's like you can be both. You can almost do this as an extracurricular activity, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's like
when you came in, when you came in New York in number 7 under Lynn Ward X, who I came in under, who is now Minister Abdul Karim Muhammad, you walked away from the world. You know, I didn't know what was at the movies. I didn't know what the hot songs were. Because we were at the Final Call building all the time. And then, you know, this is pre-internet, all of that. No cell phones. You know, my husband, he had holes that would get in his pocket from all the quarters that he kept in his pockets, you know, to make calls. Because we called each other on payphones, but we had more success getting in touch with each other then than people do now, because people won't even answer a text message. You know, on Savior's Day, the FOI, they're out in Chicago in sub-zero weather putting up posters. There wasn't no digital flyers. You didn't go on Instagram and hit a button, go on Twitter, and it wasn't none of that. You had to get out in the street.
It was a glue bucket and glue paste and
and get it up.
They may still have to lie some of these cities that we put up in the 80s.
And we would be out at night, and by the time you came up in the morning, the city was plastered. But you know, there was another thing too, I think, Minister Ava. that I recall that reminds me of the study guides, right? In that, in those days, you couldn't be together as Muslims and you were in a car and you didn't hear the minister teaching. We stayed in those days focused on the teachings. And
that's
when
right.
we would go to a event, we would go to a venue, the reward was to get the tape. You
that's
know,
right.
after you came to the venue, did your security detail and what have you, and everything was finally settled, the joy was to be able to take a tape, and you would have a tape, and you pop it in, and you listening down the road, whether 6 hours, seven
come on,
hours,
come
whatever
on.
The travel is, listening to him.
Cassette tape.
And listening to the teachings.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. And you know, today, the beauty about that, we don't. That's right. And that's why NOI Radio, Final Call Radio today is so critical, just so a plug-in for that, because now you can have the minister in the same way, because a lot of these cars you go into now, they don't have not even CD players anymore.
No, they
oh,
don't.
No.
They
you
don't,
know,
they
you,
don't. That's right.
That's the thing of the past. So now you get in your car, you got the Apple Final Call Radio, and that's why
come on.
We really got to encourage the believers to go back to what Brother Arf is talking about, Brother Minister Arf is talking about, is listening and being indoctrinated. We were indoctrinated into Islam, the life and the Constitution.
That's right.
We don't have that level of indoctrination today. Almost because make men like Brother Saeed and yourself, you know, that have come up from who've been one of the only men I know after 75 that was actually given the title of pioneer by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he gave out the Pioneer Award. And that's because in 1979,
look at
that Brother R. came. And so there was an indoctrination. And today, we don't have that same level of indoctrination. So without that indoctrination, we don't have that same level of commitment. And in truth,
that's
we don't have
true.
That same level of faith and trust in God. And like you said, without really believing in the mother flame and knowing that Allah and his angels and that wheel is out there to back, you know, you may be a little bit shaky. You,
right.
you know,
whether
and the minister would say, you know, we're fighting for Islam,
right.
and we may say, well, we might win. I mean, we could win. No, he said we will surely win.
Come on.
Surely win. Ain't no might.
Right.
In the butt. So, you know, Brother Arf is right. It is an indoctrination.
Yep. And Sister Ava? Sister
yes,
Ava,
sir.
I just want to jump in here that we have Brother Amir, Brother Shaheed's son, on the line.
I'm trying to find him.
No, I got him. He called my line.
Oh, you
I patched
have
him
bring
in.
Him in. Bring him in.
Yes, Brother Amir, you there? Welcome to the
yes.
show, Brother Amir.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa
alaikum salam, beloved. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. We're just celebrating the life of your father and his legacy for us. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan characterized him, a soldier's soldier, and a warrior's warrior. So in our closing minutes, anything you'd like to share with us would be more than welcome. And we want you and your entire family to know that you have our love. You have us. We've got your back for anything that you might need. But just please go ahead and share some words with us.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for the opportunity. I have to
yes,
start in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I think the only thing I would really want to say, first of all, I think I want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his kind words about my father, because that his letter really gave me strength and comfort. I also like to thank the Student Supreme Captain and Assistant Supreme Captain, because they also gave me strength in that time of experience, something undescribable, because my
mm-hmm.
father was a pillar to my family, and he was also my good friend, you know, where I was his friend. So realizing that and losing that, it was a bit hard. But time, I'm keeping my mind on what he would want me to do and us to do. And as I told people, you know, remembering my father and, you know, the good times is really just belittling him, because he would want us to take in action what he encouraged us to do. And the thing that my father did the most, or kept on his mind the most, was the liberation of our people and helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his undoubtable faith in Master Farad Muhammad. So I just want to encourage anybody to keep on, you know, helping the minister as my father would want us to do. And that's what I'm going to find myself doing, improving myself so I could be a good helper like my father. And I want to thank all of the believers that have showed, believers and just people that have showed my father so much honor and respect and paid tribute to him for how he's affected their lives and helped them. I'm just really honored to even be able to share any words on your show, Dr. Ava. And, man, I'm just going to continue to keep my father alive through me, through my children, through my wife, and just helping, you know, just help our people and helping the minister as much as I can, as my father would want me to.
Can I say one thing real quick? You know, Brother Amir, just, you know, to show you the way he'd walk in the footsteps of his father, he's also a lieutenant first officer in the mosque in Dallas. So is his son Amir. Those are two young men that have picked up the mold, you know, and that, you know, of their father. And so the love that you see, the strength, and I just got to say, they have been soldiers, as Brother Terrence said. You know, he's a part of the national training that the GM, that the Assistant Supreme puts out, but also one that works hard. And so, brother, we just want to say we love you. We thank Allah to see our brother live on, and will live even further on into the future. The messenger said, you know, those that have these type of lives, and we said earlier in the show, as the minister mentioned, Khalid bin Walid or the four Khalids and those great men, he said such a man was Brother Shaheed. And so, you know, that's the type of greatness, and they're still being spoken of hundreds of years later, and it'll be thousands of years in the history of our nation, as it was in the history of the time of Prophet Muhammad. It will be our brothers like that that will remember to the future. So we look forward to being of help continuously with that as well, my dear brother. Love you very much, and give our love to the family, and we continue to minister to anything that we could be supported. You know, we're here for you, but we know that Allah has got his hedge around you and the family, and, you know, love you, soldier.
Man, love you too.
Yes, we are proud of you, Brother Amir, and that's my grandson's name as well, Amir. And, brother, I'm going to tell you, listening to you is one word that's stamped into my mind, and that's immortality. You know, we're actually witnessing how a man achieves immortality, because through you, and then when you said your children and their children, that's what this is all about. I mean, listening to you, we all know we have won this. And so may Allah continue to bless you. And thank you, Brother Wali Allah, for letting us know about our young brother's service that's going on right now. You can't ask for more of a blessing. That's a reward to Brother Shaheed, you know, his children, his family. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Amir. Well, we're at the end of this. This has been so fulfilling. I'm really full. And I want to thank Brother Amir. I want to thank Student Minister Abdulwali Allah Muhammad. I want to thank our General Counsel, Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, our sister attorney and good friend of Sister Tiffany Muhammad, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. I want to thank my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and, of course, the sister that brings all this together every single week, and who's also the mother of a new high school graduate, Brother Nasir Muhammad, and I'm talking about Sister Rona Muhammad. And then, above all, on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, I want to thank all of those who call in and listen to us talk about him and talk about these teachings each and every week. And I love what Brother Arif said. We built the nation back up fast and furious because we stayed immersed in the word. We listened consistently to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So let's get back on our post and thank all of you who call in, who log in each and every week to Elevated Places. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding, and let's stay strong and let's behave like what we are, and that is we are the winners. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Love you too.
Alaikum salam. Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.